On March 11th, Rudy Deckers, the director of a Florida flight training school, received confirmation that the Immigration and Naturalization Service had approved student visas for Mohammed Atta and Marwan al-Sheehy, both of whom had died very public deaths 6 months earlier on September 11th. That incident prompted a congressional hearing and promises of reform. It also provided a glimpse of bureaucracy at work. Our colleague Robert Siegel set out to trace the paper trail of Mohammed Atta's application for a student visa.
The story begins with Mr. Deckers, who runs Huffman Aviation in Venice, Florida. It's July 3rd, 2000. Atta and his partner al-Sheehy sign up for flight school in person. Atta had a 6-month tourist visa called a B2 visa. To study here, he had to change his status to an M1 student visa. The school had to tell the INS that he was accepted as a student. Deckers had Atta fill out the application forms and start the course. Typically, he says he waits a month to file his forms with the INS in case the student drops out of school. In this case, he waited nearly 2 months.
Atta had serious attitude problems with the flight instructors. The chief flight instructor talked to both of them, Atta and al-Sheehy, stated that we're a serious flight school, and if they want to play, they have to play somewhere else. And from that moment on, they became serious students, and a couple of weeks later, we applied for the student visa.
On August 29th, 2000, Atta sent his change of status application to the INS on September 19th. By that time, Mohammed Atta was almost halfway through his 6-month course.
When you apply for a student visa, that is enough for us to start. That's how the law is right now.
The long and the short of this story is that once Rudy Deckers concluded that Atta could afford his pricey flight school tuition, and once he supported Atta's application for a student visa, all the real decision-making in this episode was done. The rest was paper shuffling and waiting, and there was a tremendous amount of that. Deckers and Atta both sent their forms to the Immigration and Naturalization Regional Service Center near Dallas. Jeff Young is an INS worker in Vermont who's on the national staff of the union that represents INS employees. He has seen forms like these arrive at service centers for years.
We do what we call a slit and peek. We open up the mail and we look in it and see what's in there. And then we kind of sort them out.
And Young says that if you had opened Mohammed Atta's application and seen that it wasn't a matter of naturalization or getting a family member into the country, you would give it a barcode and send it on for examination, or adjudication as it's called, knowing that it would not get urgent attention.
It's had a very, very low priority. Yeah, change of status and extension of stay, probably right on the very bottom of the level of difficulty of applications that we do.
So, Jeff Young says, it would go into a folder, onto a shelf, and take its place in a mammoth backlog of low-priority applications. By December 2000, it was still on the shelf at the INS in Texas when two things happened. First, Atta's 6-month tourist visa expired. And second, Atta completed the flight training course that he needed the student visa for. On January 3rd, 2001, he left the country and went to Spain. A week later, Atta flew back to Miami International Airport, where an INS inspector called him aside for what's called a secondary inspection. He didn't have a valid visa, but he did have a form showing that he was applying for a student visa. As INS Commissioner James Ziegler told a House committee last week, that would have been sufficient to let him in.
The practice, at least in the past with the INS, was that if a status change application has been filed, that is treated as not making you in an illegal situation. And it also doesn't trigger the withdrawing of your visa, as I understand it, from the State Department. It's all very complicated regulations. I'm trying to figure them out.
INS worker Jeff Young remembers applying these regulations when he worked at Miami International years ago. And he remembers the secondary inspection area where Atta was questioned about his schooling.
On an average day in Miami, this place is jammed. It's got screaming kids. It's got old people. It's got everything you could possibly imagine. All of the interview rooms are full. It's a beehive of the first order. And somebody like Atta comes in, he's got a visa, he appears to have money, he's going to flight school, you know, what's his harm? it comes down to a matter of priorities. And at that point, our experience would have been that this guy isn't going to hurt us any.
So, on January 10th, 2001, Atta was routinely readmitted to the country. in part on the basis of his application to be a student after he'd completed his studies. That application, meanwhile, sat on the shelf in Texas for 6 more months. In July 2001, it made it to the cubicle of an INS adjudicator. Here is INS worker and union staffer Jeff Young on the work of an adjudicator who at the Texas Center was probably doing mandatory overtime to cope with the backlog of paperwork.
You go in, you set your cube for 8 hours or 10 or 12, depending on what your shifts are. They bring you crates, you know, like the milk crates, full of applications, and you sit there and you adjudicate them, and you data enter them into your computer, you write decisions. That's the run of a day.
What's your hunch by the time the folder containing Mohammed Atta's application made it off the shelf and was seen by an adjudicator, how much time do you think an adjudicator would have given that particular application?
5 or 6 minutes, maybe.
An INS worker from the Texas Center told us that could have been 2 minutes. Mohammed Atta's by now meaningless application for a change of visa status got its brief adjudication after 10 months on the shelf. At last week's hearing, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee excoriated the INS for that delay.
It was September 19, 2000, that Mr. Atta applied for a change from a visitor B-2 visa to a M-1 student visa. It wasn't until July 17, 2001, that he was even notified.
And that was 7 months after he had finished flying school. Atta had made 2 more trips out of the country and returned on a tourist visa. Now, recall that Huffman Aviation in Florida still hadn't heard back on its application for Atta's student visa. The INS, after sending Atta his approval notification, sent his paperwork, as it was supposed to London, Kentucky. That's where a private contractor, Affiliated Computer Services, or ACS, does data entry and warehousing for the INS. Atta got his notification in July. ACS got his paperwork on September 19, 2001. INS Commissioner James Ziegler told Congressman Elton Gallegly at last week's hearing that that was because INS would put paperwork bound for Kentucky in a box and send it off when the box was full.
When there's a box full, they are sent out to the contractor to data entry into the databases so that that information there. They've already been approved.
It's a pretty big box, Mr. Ziegler.
I don't know what size the box is.
We received it on September the 24th, and the data and microfilm were sent back on October 5th.
Tom Blodgett runs ACS's operation in Kentucky.
We store those documents under this contract for 6 months, and then at the end of that six-month archival period, our contract calls for us to mail back those documents to the originating school that applied for the visa.
The documents are stored just in case the INS needs to pull hard copy, perhaps for evidence in court, which hardly ever happens. During those 6 months, still no confirmation is sent out to the school. Tom Blodgett of ACS says his company treats INS documents that are archived there as confidential. Between that and the volume of documents, he says it's to be expected that no one would see Mohammed Atta's name. And he adds a third reason.
At the time of mailing, why didn't our employees notice this name and say, here's a terrorist, let's pull this out, something's wrong? The process is very automated.
An ACS mass mailing of 4,000 items went out on March 5th. On March 11th, Rudy Deckers opened that headline-making and, for the INS, very embarrassing notification. Mohammed Atta, notoriously dead for 6 months and finished with flight school 9 months before that, had been approved for a student visa. Under pressure from Congress, the INS is now expected to reform this process at just about every step. Most visitor visas may be shortened to 30 days from 6 months. By July, schools are to get prompt notification of student approvals by Internet. ACS will be expected to process information in 3 days, not the 5 days in its previous contract, or the 9 days it actually took in this case. And archiving will be cut from 6 months to 1 month. INS Commissioner Ziegler is pledging systemic changes because, in the case of Mohammed Atta's paperwork, he says, everyone did his job.